How have you not seen this?
Seeing this, as always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by Joe Horan.
Hello.
And Kyle Tolliver.
Hi, everyone in the podcast listening universe.
Just all of them.
Everyone. All of them. WTF. Got those Bang Bang folks. Even some cereal transitioners.
Yeah, NPR NPR trucks with How Have You Not Seen This?
Yeah.
We just watched The Running Man, 1987 action film starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, based on a novel by Richard Bachman, better known as Stephen King. I've never read the book, so I have no clue how much this differs, but I know that for the most part a lot of Stephen King adaptations differ drastically from the source material, so it certainly wouldn't surprise me to find out if that was the case with this or not. Schwarzenegger, as I have said many times on this show, is one of my favorites. I love pretty much everything he's ever done for the most part. He's responsible for some of my favorite action movies of all time. As I've also mentioned before in several episodes, I think he's underrated as a comedic talent as well. Schwarzenegger, he's very much, I don't know how many actors we have that are like a Schwarzenegger anymore, but he's certainly, I think he's one of the last iconic figures. I think the closest thing we had to that, in like our generation is probably like a Samuel L. Jackson.
Probably.
It's just like an actor where you think like, they're so prolific and there's so much associated with them. But used to be like the time like when Schwarzenegger, you got like Schwarzeneggers, you've got your Sylvester Stallones, you've got your Kurt Russells, these actors who are kind of larger than life and then before them, like your John Waynes, your Clint Eastwoods, figures like those. So Schwarzenegger to me is an institution. And I take umbrage. I'm just downright livid that you guys haven't seen every single movie he's ever done. Although in my defense, I have actually not. In your defense, rather. I have actually not seen every single movie he's ever done. It's like two or three that I haven't seen, but...
Jingle All the Way?
You've seen Jingle All the Way.
I fucking love Jingle All the Way, thank you. How dare you? How dare you come into my house and imply that I have never seen maybe, like, the ninth best Christmas movie of all time.
You feeling the straight to DVD release featuring none other than Larry the Cable Guy and top WWE talent Santino Marella?
Oh, you mean the sequel that I do not accept as canon in the Marvel universe? No, thank you. That sequel can fuck right off.
I'm so shocked that you know about that. I guess with wrestling, but I know.
Yeah, it's a WWE Studios film. That's the reason I know about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this right now. Kyle Tolliver is making it his personal mission
to lose
sabotage
all of your
my
Legos.
Fucking Guardians of the Galaxy Lego set that I got for Christmas. Had a great time putting together, and he just wants to destroy that magic.
Folks,
been talking...
You're not seeing this, but it's 2:30 in the morning, and I'm a little loopy.
Accurate. Well, we're 4 minutes into this, and I have not gotten to the big question.
Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, Schwarzenegger, institution, very prolific. I would say the majority of his catalog, recommended viewing. This movie, not as hugely successful as some of the other ones, but it was not a complete bomb, wasn't a flop. So, Joe, how have you not seen this?
Well, I think for starters, the fact that it's an 80s movie puts it before my time of things I've seen. Not a big... I've seen a lot of movies. I've recently started to watch, like, Schwarzenegger movies. and have been enjoying him. I remember, like, being younger and seeing, I don't even know what movie I would have seen, but seeing him just, like, chuckling and being like, what the heck is this guy? But now I'm growing to appreciate him. I don't think before I came here I even knew what this movie was. So.
That's fair. I would say on the scale of Schwarzenegger films from kind of his prime, this definitely would be on, like, the lower rungs, I think. I enjoy this movie, but it definitely, I don't think it's as good as a lot of his other films, like Total Recall, Predator, The Terminators, obviously.
And all of those are ones I've heard of before. But one's just missed the Joe Horan brain.
So I'm curious where we get to Kyle and his reasoning. So what Schwarzenegger films have you seen then?
I remember this.
I know you mentioned Escape Plan.
Yeah, I've seen Predator, but I don't remember I don't remember seeing it. I just know I've seen it.
Okay.
And I've seen one of the Terminators, so I've seen him before. I'm trying to remember. I watched one with my girlfriend and
Twins.
I don't know.
With Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito and Schwarzenegger are twins.
That doesn't ring a bell. I feel like that's something I would definitely.
You would
want to. It was an action movie.
Okay, it was an action
movie. It was on Netflix.
Okay.
One of the Expendables.
No.
Oh, man. Okay. We're going to figure this out before we move on. If it takes us the entire podcast and we don't even talk about Running Man.
Folks, you can call in.
So, what happened in it? Was he a sheriff?
Was he Mr. Freeze?
Wait, what is that?
The Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's not what
considered
I saw.
The worst Batman.
No, I was like, that almost sounds familiar.
Right,
but I was thinking Febreze too. So,
The spray, the scent.
Like I was thinking, there was a Arnold Schwarzenegger was like Febreze's Mr. Clean. I thought that's what Kyle was telling me. Like, hey, Joe, you're missing out on this.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger doing a Mr. Clean parody is a must see before I die now.
So, so he wasn't a sheriff then.
No.
Okay, so it wasn't the last.
Siri list all Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Well, the ones on Netflix is pretty easy to track down.
That's
was it Sabotage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was Sabotage. Because I remember thinking that was a cool title.
So two of the three Schwarzenegger movies you've seen are not even his, not even remotely in his best.
No, but that's what Netflix has to offer.
But you're still very much on board for checking out the rest of them.
I am.
That's good. Because Sabotage is really bad. And Escape Plan is very disappointing. There may be two of the least good movies he's ever done.
Escape Plan was disappointing in the action field.
Oh, very much so.
I remember explaining this to my girlfriend. Just, I enjoy watching movies where people have to logically think stuff through.
Yeah.
Because, I enjoy puzzles.
Escape Plan.
Yeah,
right?
Watching how observant everyone. I loved it.
Just watching Stallone crack them codes.
Yeah. And then there's some twists at the end for those that haven't seen it. Oh, man. Love a twist.
Yeah. for the listeners, just so we're clear, what the Escape Plan considers a twist is less a twist and just them lying to you and omitting elements of the plot.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where at the very end they're just like, ta-da, everything's different.
Because we literally told you nothing up front. Alright, well, that's a good starting point, Joe. Kyle, how have you not seen this?
I'm along a lot of the same lines as Joe. I haven't seen a lot of 80s movies, and then this one, when I'm told about classic action movies, isn't on the list. Also, my whole family on my mother's side came from California, so I was raised that the
name
fact
dropper.
That he was California...
Yeah,
my mother, you all know her, was I was raised that Arnold Schwarzenegger was a travesty to public office.
Not incorrect, but
yeah. Well, I mean, for me. Yeah, I mean, he's most. We will admit he's mostly known for being the governor more than he was being a governor. So he was constantly poked fun at. And then when I actually found out that the Batman movie that he played, Mr. Freeze in, was very terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know that because I saw it when I was 8 and only remembered the bright colors. And the only character I remember is Mr. Freeze. And I remember him being, like, sort of funny with his classic 80s Schwarzenegger taglines after all kills and KOs.
Oh, he kills it on the puns game in that movie.
Yeah. Also in this movie too. Yeah. So I pretty much had a stigma up until I could form my own opinions, which was about late high school.
That's fair.
So I missed the Arnold train hard for a while.
I want to say, as a person who likes this movie and who loves Schwarzenegger, as far as, like, his kill lines, Running Man might be the worst one right after Batman and Robin. They're so literal, and they're so, like, they're so very clearly him too hard. Yeah, like, it's all this lazy stuff. It's not like in Predator where he throws a machete into a dude's chest and pins him to a wall and just grins and goes, "Stick around." Like, that's great. That's wonderful. Or in Commando, where he shoots a guy in the chest with a ballistic spring-loaded knife, and then, well, before that, he pulls out the knife and says, "Como estás?" because he's in South America, and then he shoots the guy with a ballistic knife in the chest. Whereas this one, it's just, they're all so bad.
I remember reading, like, a pop culture article about the, like, movie iterations of comic book characters, and the only way in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze was an honorable mention, only because, end quote, the author said, while everyone else looked like absolutely miserable in the movie, you could tell Arnold Schwarzenegger was so glad he got a script full of puns.
Oh yeah.
And then watching this movie, I feel the same way. I feel like every time someone hands him a script, he just has that weird wooden toothy smile, and it's just like, more puns.
Yeah. Oh, Schwarzenegger was the only person in Batman and Robin, I think, that was having a good time.
And that was
everyone looked miserable.
I feel like after every shoot, they're like, "All right, that was perfect. Can I do the pun again?"
Yeah.
See, things like that with, like, the puns always make me wonder how much is, like, him just, like, going off of script, or like people are writing awful puns knowing that.
I think it's just a huge action movie trope to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, because you want your hero to be cool, which means, like, they've always got something to say.
Yeah.
Like, and
classic example was it Evil Dead? Right? Was it an Army of Darkness?
Army of Darkness was more in line with, like, those action movie kind of tropes and quips.
Yeah.
Than any of the other movies. But yeah, Army of Darkness very much. Because they're like, what if instead of this time of being scary, we just make Bruce Campbell a stone-jawed action hero?
Yeah, and I can think, there's a lot of movies that are like that. You forget that it happens now because it isn't cool to do that, but...
Yeah.
Travel back into the 80s, it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Schwarzenegger, Stallone movies, like, well, even, like, a Die Hard, like, at no point, like, there's no point in that movie where John McClane doesn't kill somebody and have something really cool to follow up with. Like, even after, like, snapping a guy's neck, he tries on shoes, he's like, "Oh, 13, all the terrorists in the world, I gotta kill one with feet smaller than my sister's." It's like, McClane.
you
jokester.
Okay, you're not gonna be arrested for life because of that.
Yeah, we're gonna let it
slide.
You're
just so adorable.
but yeah, usually Schwarzenegger's kill lines are way funnier, and this one, although I do love... after he kills Sub-Zero by strangling him with barbed wire and just garroting him with it, he just looks up at the camera and says, here is Sub-Zero, now Plane Zero.
Which I don't completely get.
Yeah, I was like, where's the joke? What does that mean?
Like, he was less than zero,
and
now he's actually gone up in value.
Went from negative to zero. Hey, you got two math majors watching this movie.
That's what I was like, literally picturing like a plane on the like the z-axis plane at the vertex. I was just like, what?
Well, this is, like, you can't even argue like absolute value in that because then it's zero to zero. It stayed the same.
And then we all know absolute zero has never been reached. So, all right, we're done. Wrap up this podcast. We'll see you next week.
We got to shut it down, man. There's too many ladies. There's too wet out there right now to hear all this talk about math. Yeah, like, Schwarzenegger's best lines in this movie, none of them come from him killing anyone. They're just things that he says. Like him grabbing the camera and saying, I'm going to ram my fist into your stomach and break your goddamn spine, will never not be funny to me because, like, he's so angry and then he slams down the camera to emphasize it. Or when he stabs the guy in the back with a pen when he signs his television contract.
I knew that was going to happen. I was like, oh, this is going to be so great.
I thought, like, the whole time he signed, he'd be pressing really hard. I was
like, carve his
I feel like everyone knew something was going to happen.
Just signed Ben Richards on that guy's back.
I think the best kill line actually came before he killed him, when he locked the dude in the cart to kick him down the tube.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, don't do this. He's like, I don't take requests.
He's like, drop dead. He says, drop dead.
Oh, yeah. He's like, drop dead. I don't take requests.
Also, we need to establish the host of the Running Man game, played by Richard Dawson, of Family Feud fame.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And terrifying, actually. Like, very appropriate casting for this. Which, you know, you think about someone like Richard Dawson, like, classic host for the show like The Feud.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wouldn't tap in and make a very good villain. No, they would. So, like, I'm waiting on, like, somebody, if they ever, like, remake this, if we get, like, an Alec Trebek as, like, the villain or something.
I think that would be the perfect one. Or who's the guy from Wheel of Fortune?
Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, man. Is that it? Is those the only two game shows?
No, you got that Family Feud guy. He has a mustache.
Oh, Steve Harvey.
That's what I know about him.
Family Feud has had a long story. This host, Richard Dawson, Richard Karn from
Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson, Steve Harvey.
Bob
Barker.
Drew Carey in the remake of The Running Man. Hey, if he can be in the WWE Hall of Fame, he can do anything.
Oh, my God. Oh, hold on. I hate to get sidetracked, but why is Drew Carey in the WWE Hall of Fame?
They have a celebrity wing where they, once a year, they let in one non-wrestler who's contributed to a WWE.
How?
Like, financially?
No, just, like, has appeared. And as you can tell, it's getting kind of low. And in the 2000 Royal Rumble, he entered it and eliminated himself when Kane entered, shot his pyro up from the ring post. Drew Carey got scared and hopped over the ropes, eliminating himself.
I completely forgot about
that. He also joins with Bob Barker and Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, I remember getting choke slammed by Kane.
Yeah, multiple times. I think three WrestleManias in a row. which, if Pete Rose hasn't got shit on enough, the famous joke, that's the only Hall of Fame he can get into. And then, Refrigerator Perry. And then, there's some just embarrassing ones.
The real tragedy is that David Arquette will never get the WWE Hall of Fame.
Never will.
Just the WCW Hall of Fame. Does that exist?
I think it did until they got
it. It did until after they realized that they let David Arquette win their heavyweight title every day. And they realized, nope, we need to dissolve this organization.
Oh, yeah, I would love to do a hate podcast on just Ready to Rumble. What is it? Is that it?
That's
the name of the movie.
Ready to Rumble, starring David Arquette and Scott Conn and Oliver Platt.
Yep.
And DDP. Jumping back onto the Remnant, actually in keeping in tone with wrestling, Jesse the Body Ventura in this movie. His second movie with Schwarzenegger, because he's in Predator.
I also, I like how they didn't hit him too hard. I was fully expecting at the end,
like in
after the security came in, that he would be like the last battle. Because he never actually fought Schwarzenegger. No. But it turned out that, I assume what happened was after he did the job and killed those two stunt doubles to appease the audience, that he walked off the job, which I would assume so, because beforehand he was like, this is bullshit, basically.
Yeah.
So I assume that's what happened, and that's a very honorable way to do so, because for all the shitty, kind of faceless, nameless heavies they had throughout the movie, he kind of had the most... Even though it was a stupid reason, the reasoning was, oh, we used to be able to kill people with our bare hands, and now we have to use guns.
See, that's what...
It still brought a little bit of honor. Which was nice, and they didn't overdo it. They tend to overdo it in celebrity cameos. In movies like that, when they don't need to. So, shout out to the body, the mind... former governor of Minnesota. Was he already governor at that point?
No, not me.
They had some future political power. Two governors, not one, but two governors of our United States of America.
Oh yeah. Yeah, wouldn't have been until the late 90s, I believe, when Ventura had governor. Yeah. I also the other guy, the guy that plays Sub-Zero, is actually in Last Action Hero as well, as the main villain's butler, or manservant, or whatever. So I was looking, I was watching through this time, and I was like, are any of these other guys in other Schwarzenegger movies? Because that'd be kind of a really cool thing, at least not on an immediate glance, which was a bummer.
I thought they were going to do something funny with Sub-Zero being on, like, ice skates.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to end up, like, just spinning, I don't know. It wouldn't have been funny, but I figured they would do it.
Something slapstick.
Yeah.
A lot of slapstick.
Well, it's, everything is so serious, and then here comes Dynamo, an opera-singing dude who looks like, who drives a car. The only way I can think to describe it is that he looks... like those old McDonald's toys that you would get with a cartoon character in a car, and their head was just sticking out of the car, and their body was clearly so disproportionately bigger than it should be for a vehicle of that size.
Yeah.
And that's what Dynamo looked like.
He looked like a real-life
Mario Kart character.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
Crash
Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot Metro Kart Racing.
Yeah.
What was his line right before he died? He was like, it was something about
they're insinuating he was going to rape her.
His pants were around his ankles.
Yeah.
He was going to.
Yeah.
Because right before, he's like, what are you laughing at? And she says, because there's nothing
funnier than a Diglas fatso with a battery up his ass or something like that.
Real weird. And then he's like, I'll show you Diglas. And then she electrocutes him, like, with the fire sprinklers.
Shoots a smoke. The sprinkler.
Which
is
probably the least dignified end that any of the stalkers meet in the movie, because his pants are around his ankles.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, he fucking deserves it, though.
Oh, yeah,
at that point in the movie. But also for wearing open electricity on his suit, it wouldn't have killed him unless there's literally open arcs of electricity.
That very well could have been. Here's the thing that's the most ridiculous about Dynamo's, besides everything, is that his chest piece just looks like it's constructed from a light bright.
Yeah.
Like, he is the least intimidating of the stalkers, despite probably having, like, the scariest powers of literally just shooting electricity from his fingertips.
He's basically Whiplash.
But way sillier. Like, an opera singing fat dude with Christmas lights on his chest
and a
mohawk.
Yeah, which is placed on top of a too small for his chin bicycle helmet.
Yeah.
Where he's delivering his last lines, you can see, like, the plastic, like, cup for the chin is just, like, squeezed on him. He's like, like, all of his chin rolling out. Just, like, cross-eyed because probably the helmet squeezing
too
off
tight.
Oxygen to his brain.
Too tight.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, they're so, like, all those guys are, like, let's get really big, muscular people. And then they just were all so robotic. Put
yeah.
them in giant suits.
Buzzsaw was the only, like, normal-ish
yeah.
villain.
Yeah. He seemed like pure redneck who loved his sows.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
Also loved how they just completely took some leaps between beats there. Let's have the first killer be on a hockey puck.
Yeah.
Or be a hockey player and hit them with hockey pucks and a stick. Okay. Let's just have a guy chase them down with chainsaws. All right, let's shoot them with fire.
Yeah.
Nothing we're doing is working.
Now, opera singer dude in the golf cart.
Well, the thing is, all the other ones, too, were, like, they're sent out to chase them because they're runners.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. But Sub-Zero could only fight them in that hockey game. Like, if they just ran somewhere else.
Where, like, it was just ground.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Sub-Zero's out of the game.
Based on the fact he can't get his skates off.
Nope. Oh, man.
It was ridiculous. It was like that was exactly what I expected from a low-level Schwarzenegger movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
Exactly what I expected, and that's why
this,
I enjoyed it so
this
much.
This is definitely, of everything he did in the 80s, this is probably the silliest. Because, like, there's other, like, his movies from that time period that, like, are silly. But, like, there's also, I think there's a higher level of quality. Like, even, like, Total Recall is a very silly movie. But, like, it's legit, like, it's good science fiction. It's funny. The action's really good. The story's good. The actors are great. And then something like Predator is just a great action film. And then Running Man is just, like, very clearly, like, silly, kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
B-type fare for the most part.
I feel like it would have... Because you said it was Stephen King before. Was this before he took his pen name?
No.
Did he just write it under his name?
It was under Richard Bachman. Let me see when the novel actually dates from.
Because I was going to say, I feel like they... I mean, what either he hadn't found his tone yet in his novels, or they did have to go completely off.
So it was 1982. He published under that, like, even after he was famous, he still wrote under Richard Bachman.
Okay.
A lot.
I can see this because this is way different than a lot of the stuff he's done.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just like thriller, horror, while this is more like Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
I was instantly reminded of Fahrenheit 451 and to a lesser extent Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm,
just based off the whole all of the world is encapsulated by a stupid TV show ran by dumb idiots. I feel like Idiocracy was very much Running Man, a parody of Running Man. Like almost like the stupid host, the stupid numbskull, like, participants.
Yeah.
Just kill.
Well, and even to a point, too, you look at some, like, the Hunger Games now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of similarities there, too. Which is, like, when the first one came out and everybody was, like, posting their dumb memes or whatever, they were like, oh, I liked it better. It was called Battle Royale. I was like, you know that this is just a trope in science fiction, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is just Running Man. Also, realistically, this is just the most dangerous game, which predates all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's probably something that predates that, too. Like, which, you know, is not saying that, like...
I mean, you've always had Blade Runner, didn't have elements of, like, catching criminals and, like, a system of, like, we're going to punish criminals in an odd way. Because I remember Blade Runner, don't they have, like, some sort of collar or something, or chip, or maybe I'm just mixing.
I think you're definitely confusing
a whole mix
mixing and matching.
You're definitely confusing Blade Runner with something else.
Maybe. Oh, maybe.
Saw Maze Runner recently.
That was it.
Yeah, that was
Maze Runner.
Yeah.
Oh, well, another movie that's just like it.
Here's the big question: was there a maze?
There were definitely runners. Oh, it was Running Man. No, I think it was a Running Man. Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a trope that's been hit 1,000 times before.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do with all of our worst criminals? Let's put them in one big arena.
There's I don't know what it's called. It's the prison where they have cars and they race to the death.
Oh, Death
Race.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
also Twisted Metal.
Yeah, Twisted Metal,
the video game was basically
Gamer,
trope.
Starring Gerard Butler.
Was that it? I didn't see that.
No, that's another movie. No, Gamer, I actually really like Gamer a lot. Basically, the premise is that players control, like, real-life people, like prisoners. And if any of the prisoners successfully win 30 matches, they get their freedom. And Gerard Butler is one of those prisoners.
And, of course, we're not going to let them get his freedom.
Of course that.
But
yeah, Gamer's one of those great. The Condemned, starring
Stone
Cold Steve Austin.
I was just about to say that.
Did I see it in theaters? Fuck yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Was it pretty dope? Yeah, even though he didn't give anyone a Stone Cold star, yeah, it was pretty dope.
I just found out that lost him the most money out of any WWE film. Still made a Condemned 2, starring none other than Randy Orton.
Oh, hell yeah.
Straight to DVD release.
RKO out of nowhere! I don't
know. They lost money, but they made another one?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've lost money on pretty much every movie.
Not The Rundown.
Jeez.
The Run? I didn't see that.
Oh,
what is that?
What?
Is that the WWE film one?
Oh.
Is that the one that wasn't completely dominated by WWE stars?
Yeah, it wasn't completely WWE funded, but like Vince McMahon had an executive producer credit on.
Really?
It starred The Rock and John William Scott.
Oh.
And Rosario Dawson. And
I'll probably have to check that out.
Oh,
probably because it has a Rock. Rock is above anything. At this point, what I consider those movies are The Chaperone, featuring
Triple H.
Like,
well,
this
was like the first legit one. Like, this was post Scorpion King, I think. So like the Rock's first like legit or like a leading action film. Which actually we did recently for the podcast.
Really?
Very recently, like 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Looks like I got some downloading to do.
Well, watch The Rundown first.
No.
You don't want us to spoil all the great parts. We're just listening to the podcast, never watch it, and cheat yourself, I guess, if you're into that.
I'm all about cheating. JK. Yeah, let's get back on track. You would never let me have a WWE side note. I will take it for all it's worth. Every bit of entertainment out of it.
I'm all for it. I don't know why I even talk about movies anymore. I don't know why I just don't bring people on, make them watch a movie, and say, all right, now, what do you think about Raw era Shawn Michaels?
Montreal Screwjob. Shoot, was it fixed? What do you think?
Now, big question. Who did you prefer, Jean-Paul Levesque or Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
We all know we hate Triple H, so that's not an option.
Jean-Paul Levesque.
Ooh, I had a Triple H action figure. And he used to fight the Blue Ranger Power Ranger action figure.
Oh, did he win every time?
It was kind of like an off and on. I would play with him in the bathtub. And in my mind, because he's the Blue Ranger, the water would power him up. So he would win those. But if it was like a bedtime battle, Triple H would win.
Bedtime battle, and there was a sledgehammer under a...
Next match is an annual bedtime battle.
I'd say it's probably pretty hard to pedigree somebody in water.
Yeah.
So, back to the movie.
Yes.
No, I was just too guilty. Look, man, you can talk about wrestling. I'm going to jump into it with my 2 cents.
Let's talk, actually, I'm thinking we're talking new metal.
No, back on topic.
Okay, fine, listen to the American Werewolf in London episode for all your Limp Bizkit needs.
Yeah. So, as a sci-fi film, there's a lot of really cool stuff that this movie, like, sets up, and then really does nothing with.
Yeah.
Because, like, we get the dystopian future. We find, like, he gets arrested in the beginning for being framed for massacring innocents during a food riot, which we can only assume is just people trying to get food. Not unlike the scene in Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone, where people try to rob the supply truck at a Taco Bell because they have no food. And, like, so they set this up, like, there's clearly, there's class disparity, there's the government, like, censoring information, and art to an extent. You mentioned the Fahrenheit 451 comparison, because, like, music, books, all this stuff. Like, she has cassette tapes. Like, even clothing, like, certain styles of clothes are outlawed.
Yeah, they mentioned that.
Which is really weird. And then they do nothing with the rest of it. They're like, the whole time they're like, yeah, we've got this underground movement. And they're like, hey, we have a very vague idea of what you're fighting against, but like, you don't do much with it, and that's a bummer.
Yeah, though, like, I had to fill in the blanks from a movie like The Hunger Games, which is like, oh, they do good. Well, of course, they have three or four movies to do it across, but movies like that and other ones have set up much better the whole, like, let's show you the whole world as we see it. Because the only thing we see, we don't see Bakersfield. We see infrared scanning of it from
from
the helicopter. And the only thing we see of Los Angeles is a skyline before they...
Yeah.
And the only thing we can see in the skyline really is a television screen.
Mm-hmm.
Which shows how important... I think they did want to make a point that television rules all.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this society. But, yeah, it left everything else very vague.
Yeah, and again, like, you get that to a point, like... coming out in 87, this also came out the same year as RoboCop. Which is one of my favorite films of all time, done on the podcast as well. And I think it's one of the best sci-fi films in terms of critiquing the era that created it, because there's a very harsh commentary on commercialism, on Reaganomics, on corporate privatization of public services, stuff like that. And in the space of about the same amount of time, RoboCop builds like this very vivid picture of Detroit, the Detroit of the future, which really is just Detroit, where it's like this bleak, barren wasteland, like, and they talk about like all the things that like affect it, you know, like, and you see like commercials interspersed throughout that like reflect what their popular culture is now, and all we know in Running Man is that this is the most popular program of the future. People tune in, and then in the future, like, we're still barbaric, and we do, like, fucking gladiator, coliseum type shit still. But they never really go anywhere purposeful with it. Right. And that's kind of a letdown.
Yeah, it all comes in, like, blink and you'll miss it lines. Like, the one where he's like, what was it? Get the Justice Department Entertainment Division.
Yeah,
which shows that, like, even the cop... Everything feeds into this TV show, which so much more can be done with it. Like, the Surgeon General calls to talk about how someone died on television, which isn't something usually you would consider it for. But it just goes to show, everything's feeding into this television show, which is a cool idea, but they give up a lot of that for, like, okay, now back to the television show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's really about these cheesy lines in action when... I feel like they could have done more.
It's hard at the same time because, I mean, the freaking movie was titled off of the television show.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole idea of it was, like, to focus on this television show aspect of this world. So, like, if you look at it that way, I think it's, like, I think they did a good job of, like, small, like, segments of, like, real world, this is what's going on outside of the television show.
I think to a point that's true. I also, like, I forgot just how much time is spent between the beginning of the movie and the actual lead-up to them being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, 30-35 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of lead-up to that, and I'm like, you could have, like, you could have started with him going out to the game show. Like, like, so much of this could have been condensed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one point, like, when he goes to his brother's apartment and finds Maria Conchita Alonso's character living there, Amber, all they mention is his brother who set him up with that apartment was going to get him out of that, who's taken away for re-education.
Yeah.
One of those things, like, you kind of know what it means, but, like, it's never really dealt with in any detail. Like, and there's no follow-up on that plot thread.
Right.
Like, at the end, it's like, I'm going to walk away with this thing. Oh, my brother's probably lobotomized and loyal to the state now or whatever, but we won't deal with that. And that, like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, you don't see any consequences of, the resistance movement, like, broadcasting all that information. You're like, do people rise up against the police state? Like,
yeah.
What is that? It feels very rushed. And it feels like they got to the end and they're like, let's not bother addressing any of those plot elements. Let's just fuck it. Richard Dawson is dead. Schwarzenegger's got the girl. Roll credits in this pop song that implies they're going to bone hard.
Which also bugs me, too, because everyone's cheering. But now they're cheering for a happy ending. But they're still fucking cheering for television.
Yeah.
Turn off
your
fucking boob tubes, sheeple.
Yeah. It was like, and there's been, like Gamer, which I mentioned. Like, there are movies that, like, definitely have done very similar things. Some of them more subtle or less subtle than others. But, like, even, at least a movie like Gamer, it more in-depth analyzes, like, the themes and the issues that it wants to address. And this, like, I don't know, because, like, the action, it's not great. Like, I don't think there are any, like, super memorable action sequences
mm-hmm.
in this movie. Not when you compare them to the pantheon of Schwarzenegger's work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's definitely, like I said, it is one of the weaker entries. In spite of that, I still do enjoy this movie because I love Schwarzenegger and I like just pretty much everything he does. But it definitely, like, this would not be in my, like, if I had to pick five movies for people to watch, it was like, hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger is this very important actor. He's done a lot of important things culturally. These are the five movies you should watch. This would be nowhere near cracking that list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be Jingle All the Way, Jingle All the Way, Jingle All the Way, Jingle All the Way, and Jingle All the Way.
That's it. That's all you need.
You get comedy and action across the board, the total package. You even get the appearance from Paul White, a.k.a. The Big Show,
mm-hmm.
in Jingle All the Way as well. So, bam. Schwarzenegger and wrestling covered again.
Top three Big Show movies. Waterboy. Jingle All the Way. Knucklehead.
Knucklehead.
Jingle All the Way and Waterboy again.
Bam.
Gosh.
Wait, what's he in The Longest Yard, the remake?
I don't
what's
remember.
He may
I know
be one of the only...
Isn't Stone Cold in that?
Yeah, I think Goldberg is too.
Billy Golds.
And The Great Khali. I think maybe that's about it. Some other people.
MacGruber is full of wrestler
cameos. I just haven't seen it, and I don't know why they would be, but...
Paul White kisses a dude.
Nice. That's very surprising.
They were
let that happen.
Yeah.
Is Paul White a wrestler?
Paul White is the Big Show.
He's a Big Show.
Oh,
right?
See? You could have said Big Show.
We said Big Show.
Wait,
so, like,
you changed it.
I said Paul White, a.k.a.
You
the Big Show.
It.
Maybe if you were
changed
listening.
Changed it. I'm surprised WWE person. That's I saw the WWE in Cincinnati, and there's some offensive stuff they do. There's some... They had a midget fight.
So let's see, one of those would have been Hornswoggle.
It was a bull, and then a guy that had no character besides being a midget. To me,
that sounds like Hornswoggle.
He came on with someone, like, Hornswoggle was like the bull, right?
No, that's El Torito.
Oh, so it's probably Hornswoggle and El Torito.
Just so you know, it's 2014. In 2014, they took two very decent high flyers, very good Puerto Rican high flyers, gimmicked them as matadors, called them Los Matadores.
Oh,
yes.
No.
No.
And they don't have any identities besides,
they're
I think,
Spanish.
Like, Diego and another vaguely Spanish name.
They dressed up the dude.
And then they took one of the best little people wrestlers in Mexico and dressed him up in a bull outfit. And they thought in 2014, you know what would be hilarious? Have these guys come to the ring and hold a flag in front of a little person wrestler.
In front of El Torino.
Yeah, it's a red flag in each
chest. Yeah. They thought that was hilarious. This is the same thing also, and don't get me on this track. Took another very good possible gimmick in Adam Rose, who was a very Russell Brand-esque partier gimmick. And he came to the ring in a full entourage of people dressed up in all sorts of silly costumes.
Yeah,
it would have been great. But then they took one of the guys who's dressed up in a bunny outfit instead of him being in the background like he's supposed to support the gimmick. He started wrestling, and then he started winning. And so a guy titled The Bunny got more stage time and screen time than other people who actually had real wrestling skills. Just a reminder, this happened in 2014, now 2015.
Yeah, I was
Bunny and El Torito.
The El Torito and Hornswoggle, is that what we called him?
I think at the time he probably was wearing
number two.
He was probably wearing an alligator outfit.
My brother told me that he used to be dressed like an alligator.
Yeah.
So it was them. When they would fight during like the tap out 1, 2, 3,
uh-huh.
right before it hits 3, one would throw the guy up and the ref would catch him. And then the ref would throw the guy back on and then do 1, 2, catch him. And then they switched, and then the guy turned and landed on the ref. And then El Torito went and did 1, 2, 3 like the ref was out. Classic bit of 2014.
Oh, man.
Still love it. Still love The Running Man. Still love wrestling. Despite all the complaints we've had this
When we say it out loud, wrestling sounds pretty ridiculous.
Well, every time I read reviews, it's just like, and this is why you're embarrassed to watch wrestling. There's some great things, but I could talk about how great
things.
Of a character Dean Ambrose is all day, but and how fantastic of a job they've done with Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, but. That's not nearly as entertaining.
Yeah, there's
going to start a new podcast where instead of watching movies, we just play WWE 2K15.
Yeah. And then we talk about it. Well, in this session.
This time, Dustin was the classic Rock. sleeve tattoo.
Yeah. Pre-tribal tattoo.
Jesus Christ.
All right, back to The Running Man. Oh, okay, I remember what I was going to say. I love watching... What year did this movie take place in?
Take place
in
2017.
2017? Okay, so very close. I love watching movies set in the future that took place in the 80s. Because it's just fun to see what they could visualize with the technology they had. So, for instance, Arnold Schwarzenegger, from his TV... could swipe a card and then like buy tickets to all over like the nation, which is funny because we could do that now obviously with our laptops.
Yeah.
But it's still funny that
our phones even.
Yeah. And it's so funny that in the future they thought we would still have a Cathay ray tube televisions with big blue ugly text, because that's literally all they had to physically put on set, because they didn't even have CGI to make things look sleek and flat. 2017, TVs won't get smaller.
But what you can do with them.
But what you can do with them.
Starring Bradley Cooper, because that movie will be out by then.
Oh wow, The Running Man predicted Limitless. Very specific and odd thing to predict.
That's
impressive nonetheless.
That's the most telling thing about this. So anything else you guys want to hit on before we get to wrap it up?
No, I think I diverged the conversation enough this time around. You can go ahead and in the description of this episode mark all the times you start talking about wrestling. And feel free to skip ahead.
Oh, absolutely not. No,
you're not allowed to.
We got some important things to say about El Torito and Hornswoggle. Better listen. I'm actually just going to tag this episode WWE And then mention, this is like 10 minutes before we talk about The Running Man. Alright, Joe, favorite moment?
Oh, gosh, I already forgot this was happening. My favorite moment was probably the buzzsaw fight and then murder.
Okay.
Just because, A, it's a good fight. It ended up being just a battle of strength.
Yeah.
Which is good to see in an action movie.
Of course.
And then the pun that we mentioned before with the splits. What was the exact line? It was he had.
What happened to Buzzsaw? He had to split.
He had to
split.
For
those who don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger took his chainsaw, flipped the guy's arms around until he chainsawed the guy from the groin up.
Yeah.
And right before he did that, Buzzsaw had a great line where he said, "This saw's a part of me, and I'm gonna make it a part of you."
Yeah.
Then Schwarzenegger says, "No, thanks. You can keep it." Here's what I love too about the he had the split line. That happens 10 minutes almost after Schwarzenegger kills Buzzsaw.
Oh, yeah.
Because he kills Buzzsaw, then he hears Amber yelling because Dynamo has found her and the nerd that's trying to get the code. He runs to her, has that chase sequence with Dynamo, gets the better of him, then refuses to kill him on TV, spares his life, then they start running away. And then she asks what happens, and he delivers that pun, like, 10 minutes too late.
I'm sure he was thinking, ah, too bad my two friends died, because I had this killer line.
He was like, let's go, she's gotta ask about him, right?
Goes,
she's gotta ask, like,
goes,
she knows that a dude with chainsaws came
after. What's
right?
A black guy's name? Hey, guess what happened to Buzzsaw? Oh, fuck, you're dying, man. Guess I should say my final words. He had to split. What happened to Whis? He died. Whis, he had to split.
Alright, let's go. Come on. Don't you know what happened to Buzzsaw?
Don't you know where I've been? Where you been? Fighting Buzzsaw. Oh, yeah? Cool.
No,
he's
on.
Not here. He knows that. He knows he's not here. You wanna?
Don't you wanna know?
Don't you wanna know what happened to him? He had to split. Oh, like he ran away? We should catch him. No, he had to. Because you weren't there to see it. It's way better with the visuals.
I agree with that. Just an action movie where the guy always delivers the pun way later than is appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just kills a dude with an icicle. And then, like, the next morning, he's just in the coroner's office. Like, they're doing the autopsy. The guy's like, let's see, cause of death, trauma to the eye, stab. Schwarzenegger leans is like, hey, you think he's having a nice day?
The coroner's like, get the fuck out of my office.
No, don't you get it? Have a nice day, because I killed him with an icicle.
I don't know why you're a murderer. Why are you in the coroner's office?
It's okay, I'm a cop.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Every authority figure should be saying.
This is just what Arnold Schwarzenegger does in real life. Not even his movies anymore. Just walks around and is like, oh, man. I kill someone in a way that lets me say something really funny. Alright, Kyle, favorite moment?
Oh, I just said. Oh, my favorite moment is when that. So they to appease the sheep who are watching the show, they have them make bets, and then if they win, they just hand up a bunch of swag to them. Such as a Running Man home game. And the third beat of this, an old lady's on stage, and he says, "There's what I think it's Dynamo and Fireball.
Yeah,
which one of them's gonna kill? Which one of them's gonna make the next kill?" And she, breaking the mold, says, "Ben Richards," which is Schwarzenegger's character. And he's like, "No, you can't bet the him." And it's like, he's one tough motherfucker. And I like that for a lot of reasons, because it's kind of like the obviously the turning tie, and everyone's like, "Oh shit!" Like, and then it cuts to all the hobos making bets on on him now, and it's kind of like the turning tide. It's like, oh, that's when they realize, oh, this isn't working in our favor anymore. So overall, yeah, that was my favorite scene. In conclusion,
For me, as far as favorite moments, this movie's just pretty ridiculous. I mentioned earlier, I love the Schwarzenegger grabbing the camera and the ramming my fist into your stomach line. I also feel like this moment didn't get nearly the laughs that I thought it deserved, because I thought it was hilarious. It was when Maria Conchita Alonso's character gets back to her apartment and starts watching the Captain Freedom workout video with Jesse Ventura.
That was my sec, yeah.
And then he keeps jumping in from different sides of the screen to like pitch his workout video. And then one of them, he just drops down from the top, upside down, just like laying out his workout plan, like talking about how he's a stalker. Before we even learn who or what the stalkers
are. Yeah, that was just like,
and it was like, I know what this is because I've watched it before, but like somebody watching this for the first time, they're like, what the fuck is he talking about? So like, it was really funny, and I think, again, it's just another element of this movie, like, just kind of showing where it dropped the ball in terms of, like, consistency, like, and setting up, like, exposition for the story and everything, just kind of how it was all over the place.
One of my favorite tropes in movies are muscular men in poorly produced workout infomercials.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's Napoleon Dynamite or this movie, you gotta love it. Just random cutaways to him just punching thin air or just dropping in from everywhere. You gotta love Jesse the Body Ventura. All hail him. That's it. In the podcast. Stop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention Jesse Ventura's his one fight in the movie where he spears Arnold Schwarzenegger into a wall of spikes.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this during the movie. Spear is not the move that you should use to
move.
Do that.
Maybe a power bomb.
I knew it was
sweet
fake.
Chin music.
Yeah,
like not like movie fake, but like it was a fake Schwarzenegger.
But
I still was like, holy shit! Am I gonna watch him spear himself?
Move. Come on, man! Any number you mentioned a power bomb.
Alabama Slam.
Alabama Slam would be good. A Hurricane Rana.
Even, you know, just delivering a rock bottom would be a little better.
Oh, yeah.
At least you're off to the side.
Yeah, you're like going.
Attitude adjustment, even. Hitting him with a go to sleep and having him fall into the spikes himself.
Yeah,
you know?
Even for German suplex.
That's a basic
Fisherman
one.
Fisherman suplex.
Yeah.
Like, any number.
Brock Lesnar F5.
The FU.
Audio fading away into your outro music.
Yeah.
As we just list different finishes.
Yeah. a missile dropkick.
Oh, a choke slam. How do we not think of that?
Yeah.
An atom bomb.
Yeah.
World War II. We're talking finishers here.
Yeah, the finisher where the wrestler steps out of the ring and just orders nukes to be dropped on those.
Just calls it an airstrike. Wait, what do you want us to do, Mr. Jericho? Break the wall!
It's a street fight, there's no
Alright, I think we're going to wrap it up there with that dope Chris Jericho.
Dusty Matt is always plugging his own bit.
Despite that outro, this podcast has been about a movie. thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Joe, for coming on the podcast. Thank you all for listening and putting up with our you know, I'm not going to say too large enthusiasm for wrestling because there's no such thing. But thank you for putting up with it all the same.
I don't even know much about wrestling.
I think we have to give it up for Joe to staying up watching a movie and then having to listen to us talk.
Also accurate. That'll do it. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Mwah.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.